Well, with the midterm elections just a week away, one of the big issues for voters is health care. The Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, has gotten more popular, even as the Trump administration has chipped away at it. 10 years ago, Obamacare didn't exist, but Congress had just passed a law that required insurance companies to cover mental illness on par with other medical issues. So how's that working out today? Christine Herman reports from the Side Effects Public Media podcast, The Workaround.
Matthew Timian adopted his son when he was just a toddler. He'd come from a home where there were problems with drugs and a lot of violence.
So he was, you know, neglected for the first 3.5 years of his life, whether that means food, medical care.
When his son was 10, he started acting out violently. Timian hid knives and anything in the house that could be used as a weapon. At one point, Timian's son was hospitalized 3 times in 3 months. They had good health insurance, so he didn't expect coverage would be an issue, but at times it was.
He was cutting himself, and he's hearing voices, and he is threatening to run away and kill me. Insurance company says, well, hasn't done that in 3 or 4 days now, he's good to go home. And the hospital said, no, he has to stay.
To get an insurance company to pay, patients can file an appeal. But if the internal reviewer agrees the treatment isn't needed, the patient's on the hook for the bill. This happened to Timian, so he appealed to the state agency that regulates insurers, and they sided with Timian.
Yeah, he clearly needed to be at the hospital. You're paying for it. And so in our case, it worked out. But most people don't have the tenacity to go through this process.
Especially if they're in the middle of a crisis with their child. Timian's insurance company at the time, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, declined to be interviewed but sent a statement saying the level of care they cover is based on medical necessity. That includes looking at national guidelines and the needs of individual members. David Lloyd is a senior policy advisor for the mental health advocacy group, the Kennedy Forum. He says they hear from many people like Timian who have to appeal when coverage gets denied.
In many cases, it is pretty clear that treatment is needed and that coverage is just not being provided.
And that, Lloyd says, is a potential violation of federal law. 10 years ago, Congress enacted the Mental Health Parity Act. The law doesn't force insurers to pay for all mental health treatments, but they have to cover mental and physical health equally. When coverage is denied, it can have dire consequences on families like Matthew Timian's.
My son fell through so many cracks that the system was supposed to protect.
On 2 occasions, Timian almost gave up his parental rights in a last-ditch attempt to get the state to pay for the treatment. Data from Illinois shows dozens of children every year enter state custody because it was the only way parents could access mental health treatment for them. John Foley is the CEO of Benefit Consulting Group in Northfield, Illinois. He helps employers create benefits programs. He says as healthcare costs rise, insurers don't want to spend money on expensive treatments they don't deem absolutely necessary.
Now you've got the payer side. We're going to spend $600,000. But is there another way to treat this so that maybe this can be handled for $75,000 and get the same outcome?
Foley says sometimes what's medically needed is obvious. If someone breaks a bone, they need a cast. But with mental illness, it's not always as clear-cut. He says there are also financial incentives on both sides. Providers make more money on expensive treatments. Insurers save money by denying that same care.
Providers are not angels, and neither are the payers. I just want to make that clear. Neither side is, shall we say, virtuous.
That's why advocates say regulators need to step up and do a better job enforcing existing laws. Timian did get a state grant to cover his son's treatment after his insurance stopped paying. Without it, he would be hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. Timian says he's grateful, but he worries about parents who aren't as lucky.
Most of these parents I talk to, you know, they're looking at their kids ending up in jail soon or dead because that's just how bad the behaviors are getting.
His son is now 15. He just moved back home to Northern Illinois after a year and a half at a residential facility in Missouri. Timian says his son is much better, but there's still a long road ahead.
Success isn't being cured. That's ridiculous. It's becoming able for these kids to actually be happy again.
And giving them a shot at a better life. For Here and Now, I'm Christine Herman.